Hello and welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Kapu Ramasubramanian from Disha Consulting.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer of Dataversity. And this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Kapu Ramasubramanian, the founder and principal of Disha Consulting. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Kapu, hello and welcome.
Hi, Shannon. It's really a pleasure to be on your podcast, and I'm thrilled to have this discussion. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, me too. We recently connected through LinkedIn. I'm so excited. We've had some great conversations already. So I'm really excited to learn more about you and how you got to where you are today. But let's start with that. So you're the founder and principal at Disha Consulting. So tell me, what type of business is Disha Consulting?
So it is a consulting firm focusing on data management and analytics, but I would call this or position this more of a management consulting or business consulting with a focus on data management analytics. And I can probably explain why it is so. So I founded this company with a passion to help organizations or empower organizations to use data to deliver business outcomes or turn data into wins, but and do it with confidence. So when I say that, starting with the raw data and turning it into business outcomes, there is a lot that happens in between. So you need to integrate data and then get insights from data and then make decisions or take actions based on the insights and then deliver business outcomes. So I empower organizations during this transformation. I call this a transformation of data, like caterpillars, becoming a butterfly. I help them in various ways through my advisory and consulting services. I'm the sole proprietor and personally work with my customers. I support in helping understand the business strategy or the organizational strategy of the institutions, and then develop data analytics or AI strategy that are in alignment with the business strategy, and then also can execute that strategy. Or I help them implement data governance program or assess the maturity of the data governance program and find gaps depending on where they want to go and help them revamp data governance. Or it could be helping them implement data literacy programs or with business intelligence solutions helping them with the advisory and consulting to various ways to do the research and analysis to finding the right tools and technologies for implementation. So there are multiple ways that I help organizations. Currently, I am focusing on higher education and academic medical centers, but the approach that I use can be applicable to other sectors as well. When I say my approach, with the expertise in data analytics and technology, I use more of business-focused and human-centric approach that can be applicable to other sectors as well. For example, the reason I said it is more of a management or business consulting is because when you look at data management, improving data quality or improving or implementing data governance or moving the organization to be more of a data-driven towards a data-driven culture. You address it's all focused on cultural change rather than technology change. It addresses management issues, it addresses business issues, and also it is a it addresses a lot of cultural nuances. So that is why I feel that it is more of a management consulting firm, but with a focus on data analytics.
That's so smart and so appropriate, right? Because that's what so many people and data practitioners struggle with, right? Is if you approach it, talking about all the things that you need to do with the data, it's so hard to understand the ROI. But if you approach it from the here's what we're gonna the business results we're gonna get, and
Yeah.
here's how we're the insights we're gonna get, then it's just a much different conversation.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. Data management and analytics, in my opinion, they're, it's a the teams, they are value creators rather than cost centers. And that's what we need to be focusing on. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. So, as the founder and principal, you talked a little bit about what you do and working with your customers, but so how do you work with data in your job?
So I use so there are two aspects. How I use data, how I work with data when I'm helping the customers, and another aspect is how I use data myself. So if I want to focus on the first aspect as to how I'm helping the customers, before I jump into that, I want to make a note of something that I frequently observe. Is when I'm working with stakeholders and they want to accomplish something, they jump right into data. I want to do this. I want to make a decision. I want data from here, 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 here. These are the things. But I truly believe that that has to be, again, like based on what you just mentioned, if you want to really drive the value, we need to start with the dialogue as to what it is that you want to achieve, what are your key business questions, and then get into how. But what data do you really want to get in order to answer your key business questions? And then that gives you the direction. So my philosophy is dialogue, data, and then direction. So when you get into data, I can give a few examples based on my work in higher education and also the clients I support in higher education. So higher education, there are two major pillars. It's education and research. If you put academic medical centers in the mix, it's also education, research, and clinical or patient outcomes. So, for example, when if you look at the student domain, it depends on the organization again. So it could be the institution, the priority may be to increase student enrollment. So in that case, then you look at the enrollment data. There are some institutions, they are pretty good because the enrollment is pretty good, but we do want to focus more on the student population, the diversity, diversity of the student population. Or it could be that we want to support upward mobility. Then you look at more of the demographics of the student data. So sometimes in certain institution and certain schools, such as let's say School of Engineering, then you look at in engineering, we want, that there are certain students who declare their major when they intended major when they apply, but later on they don't stick with the major. So they want to understand what it is, what are the factors that are impacting or that are making them to change their decisions, right? So in that case, you need to look at is it because if it is engineering, is it are there more is it impacted by gender or is it a certain demographics of students who are switching more than the other demographics or is it from certain location or transfer students? So it depends on what it is that you are really looking at. So that is in the student sector. And in the research sector, that again, the research intensive universities, they want to increase research, let's say, for example. So if they want to increase research or increase research productivity, then the question would be, what exactly that what do you exactly mean by that? What are the questions? So it could be that we want to know the awards from agencies. We want to look at research expenditures, and then the collaboration of the faculty members, or it could be the publications. So there are different areas. Then you get into, is it from one source or is it integrating data from multiple sources that would give you the insight? So you can take actions. For example, one of the actions could be that you want to hire faculty members in working in certain research areas. And then later on, you may want to look at the ROI on that investment. So depending on that, I help guide them to use data in different ways, but always connecting with their strategic priorities. So the other aspect, like you just asked, like how am I using the data? I do a lot of research and reading research articles, and I attend conferences. So and I talk to peer institutions. So sometimes I understand from them. For example, I attended the Gartner conference 2024 Data Analytics Summit. I learned that there are only one out of three teams, data analytics team, is really effective. So then I dig into finding what are the pitfalls, what are the factors that help them to be successful, what are the factors that are really that they are struggling with. And then, so things like that, I collect information. And also the tools and technologies, like what are the peer in case of higher education, I look at what are the what is the governance tool that they are utilizing? What are the technology? Are they using Microsoft Fabric? Or what are the visualization tools or data management tools and why they are using and pros and cons? So these are all data, these are all information. So when I'm supporting a certain institution, depending on their particular need, that I'm able to be more informed and help them navigate the space.
I like it. Lots of data usage there. So Caput, tell me, is this what you wanted to be when you grew up? Did you think to yourself when you were six, like, I'm going to grow up and be the founder and principal of a business advisory consulting firm?
No, definitely not. When I was little, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, I wanted to be a teacher. I really admired my teachers, and I wanted to be like them. Later on in high school, I wanted to be a physician, but here I am. I'm not a teacher, and I'm not a physician.
Oh, I love that. It's how, as we discover things, it's just so funny how things change. So you're in high school, you want to be a physician. So where did you go from there? Where did you go? What did you do?
So it started with my dad. He was a physics professor, and he influenced me and inspired me to go into physics. So I got my bachelor's degree in physics from India. So that's what I did. And then immediately after I graduated with an undergraduate degree, I moved to the US with the intention to pursue higher studies. Once I came here, I got really interested in computer science. So it was fascinating to me that I can really code something and make the computer do something that I want the computer to do was fascinating. So I got into computer science, got my master's degree in computer science from University of Cincinnati.
Nice.
Then I went from there. Started my career.
So what was your first job out of college? After getting your master's.
So, yeah. So I did take my first job was a software developer, and I stayed in that role, but with different institutions for quite a while. For example, initially I worked with a financial institution developing loan system software using .NET programming and Oracle as the back end. So I was one among a few other developers, and it was really exciting. I can still remember the day that it went live and it was deployed in more than 4,000 workstations. It was like, oh, the interface I did, the coding I did, like it is on people's computer, and they are utilizing it. Was really a very it was thrilling. So looking back, actually, I can see as a data practitioner, now I can appreciate the importance of putting validations in the code. For example, the phone number should be in certain format, make sure the zip code are 5 digit. And if you're collecting customer data in one module, and if you're collecting customer data in another module, you don't have to. If it is already there, bring it up. Instead of, so there are no data discrepancy, right? So thinking about all that, I really, really appreciate the importance of data quality and making that happen right when you're coding at the source. So now I'm looking at bringing data from this source and that source, but it's really fascinating to think the source was, what I coded, back, like few years ago, like you are inserting records, so you are producing data is really intriguing. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great example of, how you're not thinking in terms of the data. You're just thinking the end result of what you want to achieve and how to do it in an efficient, most efficient way, right? And
yeah,
have it
exactly.
similar, efficient formatting and have some data quality.
Yeah, exactly. The data quality right at the source is and I jumped around a bit. From there, I went to take on a role with the clinical research unit for coding in .NET. But within 2 weeks, I was pulled in to implement SAP. I had no idea about SAP. But I was asked to coordinate all the technical aspects of the SAP FICO implementation, which I did. I learned a ton. I worked with experts from Germany. I worked for the subject matter experts within the organization. And I also worked with the technical implementation team who were external vendors. And they sent me for training, and I learned SAP. I attended SAP courses, and I also learned ABAP programming through that, even though I didn't use ABAP in that particular role. But in the next role, the private higher education institution, they pulled me in to program in ABAP to implement HR module. So I switched from .NET to ABAP programming. But looking back, I really liked the coordination of various aspects and utilizing best practices and implementing the first ASAP FICO. So what I did was I decided it was a hard decision, but I decided to move from being in the trenches coding to being a project manager. So I got my PMP certification and took on a role as a program manager at another financial firm where I had a portfolio of projects that I led. That was my next job. So two more jobs in between before I started my own consulting firm.
Oh, so then that's amazing. And I love that you're just following this path of passion, and just constant learning, constant curiosity of things that you can learn and discover that you like. It's a very common theme, even though there's so many different paths into data, and what I've heard over the last couple of years, it's just that following your passion, and people mostly fall into data because as a result, I
That's
love that,
right.
especially, yeah, I mean, coming here to the States, making this major
Yeah.
move and life transforming, decision, and then going, it's not going to be physics. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna go in something different.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So then, what made you want to start your own company?
So, as I mentioned that after the program manager job, I did join federally funded research and development center. It's a not-for-profit, and they supported federal agencies. So, as a trusted advisor role with many different projects, mostly systems engineering, and for example, one was the business process transformation for one of the agencies. So that is again utilizing data to know how the current process works and what changes we need to do to make it more efficient. So you use metrics in multiple ways to show that it is not efficient currently and why you need to make the change. And in another role, I helped the another agency. They were establishing a project management office, and I helped the director with implementing best practices and IT governance and the stage gates and all that with the investment management practice. Again, measuring the performance of each project, return on investment on projects to see whether it's a go or no go at various stages. So again, you use metrics. And the another one that influenced me the most was helping another agency with the federal acquisition and contracting. That is with huge IT contracts that included applications development or even desktop support and data management, master data management, and all that, where moving away from kind of a statement of work practice to more of a performance-based contracting, and also utilizing data from various different acquisition and contracting to really think through and implement strategic sourcing. So I got more and more of utilizing data to move the organization strategically. So initially, it is more of executing projects and working on the projects, coding. Now it is more in the advisory role of how you utilize data to strategically move the organization to another towards what they want to achieve. So that really intrigued me to get into exploring the data space. I wanted to get more into data management. So that led me, I got a fantastic opportunity to be the founding director and chief data officer of the academic medical center where started from scratch, established the data analytics program. I was in that role for about 5 years. I was responsible for to forging from forging the vision to developing the strategy, developing and implementing governance, data engineering, data management, and analytics and BI solutions. So that really propelled me in that direction, and I felt that that is where I want to be. But I wanted to support more and more organizations. So I thought starting my own company and doing this will enable me to help not just one institution, but many institutions. So here I am, the founder and principal of Disha Consulting.
It's not only for data, but for helping people and organizations achieve a goal. It's just amazing. I really like that a lot. And I love that you have a PMP certification thrown in there too, to help with that.
More and more companies are considering investing in data literacy education, but still have questions about its value, purpose, and how to get the ball rolling. Introducing the newest monthly webinar series from Dataversity, Elevating Enterprise Data Literacy, where we discuss the landscape of data literacy and answer your burning questions. Learn more about this new series and register for free at dataversity.net.
And I have to say, you know, I'm going to sidetrack and go back a little bit. So working with medical research, that's a lot of data.
Yeah, that we did not really use the medical research data. It was more focusing on administration and finance. So I never had to really work with the research data. That is an entirely different field. Yeah. I also want to add that when I was working with the Academic Medical Center, when we established and things were going well, again, with the advancement in technology, it is one thing to do descriptive analytics, and then you need to be able to do predictive and prescriptive. So again, as a continuous learner, I love learning. So I got a couple of certificates, one in data science certificate from Berkeley, and I also got another business analytics certificate from Wharton, again, with the intention to be able to have that knowledge and expertise and to help not just with data management, but with also with the advanced analytics and AI space to be able to help different clients.
Very nice. So tell me, what's been the biggest lesson so far in your career?
I have quite a few lessons, but I can just tell you a couple. One is I would like to echo, I listened to your CEO, Tony Shah's podcast, and he mentioned that understanding the business. I think that is, I want to echo that, and I add something to it. For example, understanding the business is really, really important. So that was another reason I missed this from where I got here. So in order to formally get the business knowledge and understanding economics and finance, I did went back to school after 17 years and I got my MBA from Virginia Tech. So I did that. So because I thought that I'm understanding, but I'm not quite understanding without that degree. So I thought that formal education would help that, and I did. I did not have much knowledge on economics and management. So that gave me that background and aptitude to understand the stakeholders and give me the big picture. So whether you have a formal degree or not, I think it is really important to know the business you are in and how your leaders, the executives, think about what they want to achieve, because at a different, the altitude is different. So that also helps anyone, whether you are an individual contributor or you have a team, able to connect your individual contribution to the overall impact in the organization and how you are supporting different stakeholders. And the another aspect to this is it really helped me getting the MBA degree and having a different dimension from the management and leadership and strategy and all that, gave me the appreciation to listen more deeply to understand their perspective, and also help me to understand that you, especially in a major transformation project, many of the projects that I worked on ended up being an organizational transformation. And I consider myself a change agent. Maybe I was attracted to those, I don't know. It is really hard to help an organization through transformation, including data-driven transformation as an individual, or even if you have a big team, you and your team cannot do this alone. You need the support from various stakeholders at different levels. That is so important. So in order to gain that, having this multidimensional perspective, whether you get it through formal education or you get it through, you have to be intentional about it so you gain the trust. So to bring them along to move through the transition. So that is the biggest lesson I have learned. And I try to listen deeply and understand different perspectives. I'm not perfect, but like every time I fall behind, I make an intentional effort next time. That is one. And the second one that I would say is as you move through different leadership roles, especially in the data management and analytics space, it is inevitable you are going to be having hurdles and obstacles. The one lesson I have learned it is to look for opportunities and diversities. And it is not easy, but I'm training myself and I've learned that if you're intentional about it, there are multiple ways that you can tackle a problem, even if it is during challenging times.
That's so true. It is so true, right? And so
Yeah.
many people get fixed on the one path, but there's always so multiple ways
Multiple ways,
to
yeah.
do.
You just need to think outside the box.
So having been involved in data for through most of your career, do you see well, first, what is your definition of data?
I have an analogy. I think data is a strategic asset and it's everyone's business. But I think of data as diamonds. And the reason being, you mine diamonds. So you mine data, you extract data from various different sources. And then you clean the diamonds and you clean data, you make sure that it is in the right format and it is accurate and complete. Again, you polish, you cut the diamond. So here you slice and dice data differently, integrate data, slice and dice to get the insight from it. So there is value. And then you polish the diamond. And similarly, you can, from the insight you get, you present it in a dashboard or some sort. So it is really nice. Then the finally that you set the diamond in your ring or in a necklace or something, so as the insight you get from data is being utilized in taking actions and decisions. So that's how I see data.
Love that. And I know some dashboards that could use a higher score in that. But so do you see then the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
So the data management jobs are really critical, and I cannot say if it is going to be increasing or decreasing, but I don't see the importance is going to decrease for various reasons because but it is going to be evolving is what I think. For example, with AI automation, there are many data management tasks can be automated and streamlined. But however, I really think human intervention is needed to provide input, to provide context, and also interpret. So AI is a way to enhance human expertise, not necessarily replace human expertise. Another thing is I'm saying that it is an evolving field. Because at the Gartner conference, there are the evolving roles, such as roles such as AI ethicist, the prompt engineer, right? And data product manager and data ethicist. And so there are these roles that are emerging. So data management roles probably would emerge, not emerge, would evolve. But it would be a combination of to address the technology advances as well as the ethical considerations. So it has to morph into something or evolve into something, but it won't be it may not be the same in 10 years what it is now, but I cannot see it is going to be even more important as more and more organizations are going to be becoming data-driven.
Absolutely agree. So, what advice then would you give to people who are looking to get into a career in data management?
So I'm assuming that they are not in data management or related fields currently. There could be two categories, right? One, people right out of college, or they got some certification and they are looking for a job. Or it could be they are in a different roles, let's say marketing or sales, but they are not into the data space that they want to get into. So first of all, I want to say that even though we keep talking about scarcity in data management or analytics skill set, it is really hard for someone who is trying to get into this field to make themselves visible and navigate the space. So it is really, really hard, and I want to acknowledge that. So first of all, I would say, if possible, in both categories, whether you are already in a job but in a different role, or you're looking for a job in the data management field, if possible, find a mentor. So yeah, finding a mentor would definitely help provide some guidance, brainstorm ideas, and also introduce to other people so you can network. So that leads into networking. So network, network, network by you can be part attending conferences, even if conferences are expensive. There are virtual sessions and there are industry meetups. So try to connect with people. Even if you are not in that space, connect with people in that space. That is the second advice I would give. The third would be to keep current in the skills, keep learning, keep reading more and more articles. And also, if you are able to find even a voluntary position or internship, utilize the skills you have learned to work on a voluntary project, and then that can add to your resume. If you're already in a job, I would say, this has happened because, again, thinking out of the box, what can you do? You can mention to your manager that you are interested in getting in that space, make that part of your performance, you know, like your growth objective. And you can also, you know, like I cannot see if you are in a department and if there is no data analytics team in your own department, but your department is, let's say, depending on a central team. So you can always say, like, I would like to work with the central team and contribute to bring back value to your own department. So there are multiple ways that you can get to it, but it is definitely not going to be easy. So having a mentor and also celebrate the success, even if you're not achieving a job, the end goal. Even small steps. Oh, I was able to meet two people. I was able to talk to them about it. That is a progress made towards achieving your final goal. So celebrate every step of the way, and having a peer group is definitely going to help. And I don't want to diminish, make it sound easy in this, you know, like with the LinkedIn and the recruiting with the AI, it's really hard to know where to target. So that's my advice.
It's very, very good advice. I was listening to a coach on the Nike Run Club app, you know, and he's saying something very similar, you know, to, you know, celebrate the fact that you just started and just, you know, like you took that first step and woo, you know, like the biggest part
That's true.
you know, you've Yeah. So always celebrate the small things, and I agree. So it just makes it so much everything so much easier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And mentors do help so much along the way. Absolutely. No, and I've talked about it often in this podcast. Just, it took me way too long to realize I can't do it on my own. Like you're never a one man show. You just have to, it's always, life is about collaboration.
Yeah, it takes a village.
It does. Everything does. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Oh, Kapoor, this has been so lovely to get to know you and to hear your story. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask how, if somebody wanted to solicit your services, how would they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn. So I don't have a website for my company. I'm actually working on it. So LinkedIn is the best way to reach me.
I love it. And we'll get that link, that URL to in the post it in the podcast website as well. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
But thank you so much, Shannon, for the opportunity. I'm really passionate about this subject, and you gave me an opportunity to express my passion.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date on the latest podcasts and in the latest in data management education, you can go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone. Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.